You can do another one if you want. I'm good with it.
No, I have a two limit. Limited to
two. Like two at a time? Or two for the show? Two in general?
I needed time to adjust my headphones.
Gotcha. Checks out. That makes more than perfect sense.
Couldn't tell if it was as loud as I thought it was.
That seemed good on my end. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome in. It's the Rye Brown Show's on the radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Howdy, y'all. Great to be with you. Hope that you were well. Hope you had a wonderful week. Hope you're setting up for a wonderful a weekend. It is Friday. Got to get down on Friday, and what a day we've got lined up for you today. A lot of stuff to get to, a lot of stuff to talk about on the radio broadcast today. Coming up at 7 a.m., Kyle Mountain is the new head coach of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits. The Bits set to play game number two this evening. Well, game number two with the Hizzle for Shizzle at the Bonscore Wellness Arena, 7.05 p.m. The puck hits the ice, and the man that'll be standing tall on the bench holding the clipboard and rocking the headset. Actually, I don't think he wears a headset. But holding the clipboard for sure.
Do they ever wear headsets on hockey?
I don't think so, actually. Now that I spin that around in my brain. We're in football mentality, but that's okay. Because here's the dealio. Hockey's awesome. All right? Hockey is awesome. And shout out to those of you that are puckheads across the upstate. You big puckheads, you. I'm glad that you are here on what I suspect, and we'll find out, but what I suspect is the only sports talk radio show emanating from the upstate of South Carolina that talks hockey. I'm pretty sure it's me.
You keep saying those words together. You're going to mess up. I'm not nervous because I know how fast I am at the button.
I don't think I've ever messed it up. I mean, I don't understand what you're talking about. I understand what you mean when I'm talking about a hockey puck. And, of course, the people that are hockey fans, they love the puck. They're big puck heads.
I can't look at you.
Because of that joke or because I have...
Because of the red glasses. Okay. I can't. All right. I can't. Okay. Are you Elton or are you Bono?
More of a Hunter S. Thompson guy.
Really? That's actually not a surprise.
It shouldn't be. You ready
for... You lapsed into existentialism whilst drifting somewhere.
I would say that. And this is true. As your attorney, I can say this. This is actually a true fact. My career in journalism, broadcasting, writing, etc., started, Lonzo, at the same newspaper that Hunter S. Thompson's career started at. We're basically the same guy.
Brothers.
Brother. I started my career in reading, writing, and broadcasting at the Northwest Florida Daily News. It was formerly known as the Playground Area Daily News, which is the exact same newspaper that Hunter S. And for those of you that don't know Hunter S. Thompson, number one, read some of his stuff. It's wild. And number two, go watch Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas starring Johnny Depp. It is one of my favorite movies of all time. We can't stop here. This is bad country.
I can't get past the hair. That's just
yeah. It's such a good movie, dude. Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, a phenomenal movie starring Johnny Depp about the... It is a dramatic retelling of the life of one, or at least I guess one aspect, one element of the life of Hunter S. Thompson, who is the guy who brought the concept of gonzo journalism into the main view. Gonzo journalism is where a journalist will report on a story, but as opposed to standing on the outside looking in and saying, here's what happened here, a gonzo journalist will fully immerse himself in that life. And the concept of the movie is there is a race, an across the desert race happening outside of Las Vegas, Nevada. And Hunter S. Thompson goes there, but it's not just the race. He gets involved in every aspect of the Las Vegas nightlife and the drug life and all that goes on, because the racers are all involved in this as well. It gets involved, and it is just one of the most surreal dreamscape movies you've ever seen, and it is unabashed. unabashedly freaking hysterical, dude. Like, absolute phenomenal movie. Hunter S. Thompson and I started our careers at the same... He was a little before me at the Playground Area turned Northwest Florida Daily News, but that is... I'm not kidding. That's actually one of my... one of the points of pride of my career is that Hunter S. Thompson and I shared an office. He was a... None of you care about this. I don't care. It's Friday. Shut up. Hunter S. Thompson was in the Air Force and based at Eglin Air Force Base, but did not want to be in a combat role. He was, a conscientious objector in the military. And so he got assigned to work for the newspaper, for the Eglin Eagle, which was the newspaper that worked on Eglin Air Force Base. But that's not what he wanted to do. He wanted to do journalism and whatnot, but not for the military. So he also worked at the Playground Area Daily News under a pseudonym, and he worked for them as well. And then obviously as he transitioned out of the military, he stayed with that paper and then went on. He and I shared the same background, which makes sense because one day I am sure Johnny Depp will star in a movie about my life as well.
Yeah. One last question about these things. As far as I know, one last question.
As far as I know, well, that's fair. That's fair.
I mean, things just pop in there sometimes.
Sure.
What do you do when you have a friend going through a phase? Because I have a friend who's going through a phase right now.
What's the phase? It's important that we address that.
It's a sunglasses fade.
Okay.
Phase.
Okay. All right.
Do you realize that maybe this is just a phase? It will go away eventually, replaced by something else, which I don't know what it would be, but it could be, maybe bedazzled headphones. I don't know.
Let me ask you.
I'm just curious. Whilst looking out those glasses, do you see red?
Oh, yeah, it's very... Actually, not only do I see red, it's not even... Like, everything white is orange right now. Everything red is, like, vibrant orange, orange.
So I look like Trump right now.
Yeah, you do. You absolutely do.
All right.
Minus the fact that, like, he forgets that he has ears and a forehead. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Right. You look like a well-spray tanned Donald Trump. All right. Absolutely.
I'll take that.
Better hair, by the way.
That's for sure. Yeah. So people who actually have tans, how does that look through those red glasses?
I suspect they will look like full-blown Oompa Loompa.
Well, there's none around here. Oompa Loompa. We're radio. We're all pasty.
Yeah, there ain't one of us that goes outside in this building. So my question about your friend, and this is the most important thing, would be, is he pulling them off?
Yeah, but...
Okay, that's all you need to know. If he's pulling them off, nothing else matters.
But there's a persona that comes with those, and everyone's noticed. There's a persona. It's noticeable.
Is it possible that maybe he's just finding himself, finding his voice, making his way in the world, and these are potentially a way for him to create the space needed for him to actually openly be himself as opposed to some other personality?
No, that's not the case because this friend is already that. That would work for like someone like me who's socially awkward, hiding behind a mask. I like glasses, but this friend, he doesn't have that problem.
Is it possible?
He is a social butterfly.
Is it possible that perhaps that is a maybe like a false front he puts out in order to create some sort of caricature of himself that he utilizes in order to build a public perception about himself that perhaps he does not actually feel about himself. And these glasses are a way to put up a shield that allows him to feel like he has a safe space behind them to be his authentic self.
Or maybe
is that a possibility?
Maybe he's a T-3000 and his orbital unit has been damaged. So much like Arnold did in the first and second Terminator, I believe, he hides it behind sunglasses so no one will know that he's a robot.
A robot. That's how my grandmother says it, Lonzo. Just so you're...
Yeah, that's not how I say robot. But,
just so you're aware.
But robot, there's a famous actor in an old black and white movie who called them robots. And I just think it's hilarious. It's the dude who played Grand Moff Tarkin.
Nailed it.
Yeah. On Star Wars Episode 4. He blew up with the Death Star.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about Tarkin?
Yeah, that's
Grand Moff Tarkin?
Yeah.
Okay. Just making sure.
Yeah, talking.
Talking. He's a robot.
He's a robot, yes.
All I can say is that I'm pulling these off, and I look as good as I've ever looked. I am now as handsome as I am talented.
What does the mom and the wife think of this?
Just wife hates curious. Them. Wife hates
okay.
them.
All right.
Despises All right. them. The blue ones, she's come to be like, she accepts. I showed her our photos last night, right? I'm like, hey, I need your help. I got to pick a couple of these to have edited so we can use them for social media and all that. And I showed her those. And, you know, we took photos and I did two. I did the old Rob and the new Rob. I did the white frame glasses with the blue polo with the white trim. But then I also
You mean the logo?
Yes, I did the logo glasses. The old logo glasses. I may update with the new logo glasses. We'll see. I did those, and I showed her those, and she's like, well, you know, I think that for, you know, your professional headshot, right? Like, if you're gonna put material out there trying to get your stuff picked up, syndicated, added to other stations, whatever, you should use these. She goes, I really hate this, but the blue ones with the blue shirt look pretty good. And I'm like, yo, no, I know. And then I said, wait, let me show you this. And I broke out because these just showed up like 2 days ago. I'm like, check these. And I put on the red ones. And she goes, no. That was it. That was the response. I put on the red ones, which I personally love. And she goes, no. No, 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 no. That was all response.
This is legitimately not a bit. I really have a hard time looking at the red glasses.
Is it because of the overwhelming abundance of sexy coming from this side of the stage? Because that would make sense.
No, that's normal, and I'm not sure that that's enhanced by the glasses. It might be taken down a notch. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
The red really. So here's the thing. If you were indeed as sexy as you say.
Well, I'm sexy and I know it.
Yeah, you don't want something to take away from the total package. And if you look in and you can't look away from the glasses, you're not seeing everything else.
Oh, they are Cyclops glasses. That's a good
call. Yeah, but when the goatee when you go straight goatee, we all see what you're doing.
I haven't ruled that out. I haven't ruled that out as a possibility. The problem is I grow facial hair for what Lonzo's referring to is that, you know, obviously Halloween next week and I've got decisions to make because I don't care what any of you think of me. I'm 100% dressing up for Halloween. Shut up. I don't care. I'm fun. All right. It is the number one take. That I've had an issue with Rome with for years is Rome's whole take of if you dress up as an adult on Halloween, you're a loser. And I'm like, I think calling guys by ladies' name thinking you're edgy is kind of a loser thing. But that's just me. Not to start a debate with any other host in the game. That's just me. I'm big dress up on Halloween guy because I am fun. All right, like a mushroom, I'm a fun guy. And so the possibility of rocking the full Iron Man look next week because I now have the glasses is very much on the table. I have also not ruled out coming full Sith Lord because I've never actually done a Star Wars look before. I've not ruled out full Sith Lord. And on top of that, next weekend, the Swamp Rabbit game on, I think, Saturday night is Star Wars night. So I can kill two birds with one stone. I get the, you know, I'm Sith Lord for Halloween. Then I just run it back on Saturday Star Wars night.
I mean, I justify things saying it's for work all the time. So,
for sure.
I mean, you know, why not?
It's just an excuse of I do whatever the hell I want. Financial irresponsibility be damned.
Like when I bought that $42 Venom.
Did you get
popcorn
it?
Bucket last night? Yes, I did.
Dope. Is it as cool as we wanted it to be?
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
$42.
Did you bring it?
No.
Why?
Because I'm going to bring it tomorrow.
Okay.
You know.
That doesn't do anything for me.
It does not. I'm sorry. but I will tell you that my son took a small popcorn, put it inside, and you still couldn't see the popcorn because it fills out on the bust. But if you have, let's say, larger
for the
hands,
new Venom movie, they made a Venom popcorn. It's Venom's head open like he's roaring. And you reach in to get the popcorn.
You gotta reach into the mouth to get the popcorn.
It looks kind of dope.
It does. The teeth don't hurt. The tongue is a little weird, though. That's what I'm saying.
There's a clip piece of audio I can't wait to have.
Yeah, if you do that, it is war.
All right, we got a lot to get to, a lot to do, ladies and gentlemen.
I'd like to congratulate the LA Rams for the win over the Vikings last night, and I'm sure that none of you all have a problem with the way that the game ended because, hey, we love the human element in sports, don't we? Don't we love the human element? Isn't the human element the best?
You mean where he grabbed the shoulder pad?
Oh, yeah, yeah, no, for sure.
I saw a shoulder pad.
You need your eyes checked. Bad. Because they showed the close-up angle and even Herb Street doing his damnedest to protect the shield. Even Herb Street said, oh, that's a face mask.
Yeah, I must have missed that angle.
Oh, don't worry. I've got the audio from Al Michaels and Herbie both going, there's no way to protect this. None at all. There's no way to shield the shield from what is quite obviously a bad call, to the point that Al Michaels said, that's from last night. I'll play the other minute and 10 seconds of these two reacting violently to the call, but just know that Al Michaels on national television said, and I have a new clip now.
That's a good one.
It's a great one.
It really is. Yeah.
It's my favorite Al Michaels clip.
How about that Cooper Kupp? He's not going anywhere.
My man balled out last night.
And Puka.
Puka. Puka was on the postgame show and they showed him. They've been making this big thing about Al Michaels, I guess, goes to this steakhouse all the time in LA that he really loves. And they tracked him over the years. He, according to the stats last night, he apparently has visited this steakhouse in his career something like 3,000 times. And he gets the same meal every time, which is like filet mignon and a side of pasta. And they showed it to Puka and Puka goes, that's a lot of carbs, dude. Like, that was his whole takeaway. And I don't know why I found it as funny as I did.
They don't have lemon wings there, do they?
No, it's not that kind of club.
I'm just curious.
Ain't that kind of club. In the club, real fam. With Al Michaels. All right. When we come back, let's talk about the ending of that game, shall we? Because all of you who say, instant replays bad, robo umps are bad because we love the human element in sports. You got your wish last night. Congrats to the Rams. Sorry, Vikings. That's the human element in sports.
Why did you go lollipop, Jim, when you said that?
I don't know. It felt appropriate to make fun of the people who think that the human element's good. Because it's not.
Speaking of clipping, please clip that video right there.
We'll talk about it when we come back on the Rob Brown Show. Fan Upstate. Missed it. Clearly, openly
missed it. I was waiting for that part of the clip to show up and where it would be. So he was saying the Vikings fan said it, not him.
Right, but it was more fun to say Al Michaels said.
Because he did. He did say it, yeah.
Here's the reason I ran that whole clip. The reason I ran that whole clip is because if you have watched Thursday Night Football this year, and I don't say this with any particular level of disrespect or anything like that. But Herbie and Al Michaels have gone out of their way this year on Thursday Night Football on Amazon Prime, out of their way to make excuses for if not outright poor officiating, at least poor officiating decisions. Right? Missed calls, whatever. And I've said this a million times. I don't expect referees to be perfect because referees, shockingly, are people too. And nobody's perfect. Hell, I make like 2 to 3 mistakes a year. It happens. I don't expect perfection. However, when it's that glaringly obvious. I mean, this wasn't like if you watch it back in slow motion, it's a no. It was easy to see in real time. I'll put it this way. I was laying in bed. I was watching it on the smallest TV in my home, 32 inches in the bedroom. That's a fun sentence I just said out loud.
Also, the motions for 32, that's not, I mean.
32 inches.
32 is bigger than.
Around.
Okay, all right.
And so I'm watching this without my glasses on, okay? I wear the fun sunglasses in the day.
You're talking about your prescription
glasses.
Okay.
I don't lay in bed, even though I almost wanted to last night just to aggravate the wife, because that's what marriage is all about, right? Keeping the
It definitely is, but alive. I'm surprised you haven't done that yet. Of course, that would be the opposite of fun, because you said she doesn't like those glasses.
She hates the red ones. She doesn't like the red ones. The black ones, she's fine with. She's like, they're just sunglasses. They're fashionable, whatever. The blue ones, it took a little while. She come out. The red ones, she despises. Openly despises. But for those of you that know, my traditional glasses, the bold rim glasses, are prescription glasses, because I am 40 years old and can't see things well anymore. And I have not gotten to the point that I have developed the rocks to go get LASIK. I will, but the concept of having someone shine a lightsaber into my eyeball is a little, makes me a little apprehensive. I'm working on it. I'm working up the stones to get the LASIK, but we'll see. Anyway, laying in bed, do not have the prescription specs on, do not have the Lenora Sellers on, watching the old television. So basically what I can see from one side of the bedroom where my head is laid up in the bed to the TV on the other side of the bedroom, and it's only a 32-inch TV, I'm basically listening to the game, because the majority of the, like, I can make out the players, but like I can't tell you numbers. I'm basically watching football the way you remember Tecmo Bowl. Watching the graphics on Tecmo Bowl, like, you don't have player numbers. You just have Bo Jackson, and you know it's Bo because he's outrunning everybody, but it's a little dude with a black shirt and silver pants, and then over on this side is a little dude with a white shirt and blue pants. There's no numbers. There's no positions. Yeah. They're just that's how I see football at night when I don't have my glasses on.
It's a major step up from Atari football.
For sure.
I mean, but Tecmo Bowl was awesome.
For sure. I have one of those. They make these now. You can buy them. They're these little, they're basically like USB sticks you plug in your TV, but they're
emulators.
Yes. And they have all the old games. I have one that has Tecmo Bowl on it. All right. Watching Tecmo Bowl is how I watch football games without my glasses on. It's just like, there's 11 blobs that are white and there's 11 blobs that are blue. And the white blobs are playing the blue blobs. And basically, I'm relying on Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit to tell me who's who.
You're saying this referee that missed the call was watching Tecmo Bowl.
What I'm saying is I could see it was a face mask, and I couldn't see anything. But I was like, that's face mask. And I want you to know, it wasn't quite as visceral as it was when the missed pass interference call happened in the NFC Championship game that prohibited the Saints from going to the Super Bowl and stopped us from getting Breeze v. Brady in the Super Bowl. But it was pretty close. I want you to know, it made me so mad. I got out of the bed. I got up and walked to the other side of the house because I'm like, I'm not going to sleep. I'm too ticked off. I am too infuriated to go to sleep right now. I got out of the bed. I walked out to the living room. I sat on the couch, and I turned the Amazon on because I wanted to see if the postgame show was going to have the stones to say what Al Michaels said, because I did. And this, my fellow Americans, this is what I'm talking about when I say that I am hashtag Team RoboWump. When I am hashtag Team Sky Ump, when I am hashtag Team Replay Everything, this is why. This is why. Would the Rams still have won the game had that face mask call gotten made? I don't know. And you don't know. We don't know. But we don't know who's going to win any game. That's why we play the game. Who's to say that if that face mask in the end zone gets called, the Vikings get a whole lot of breathing room behind their back, that Sam Darnold doesn't go on a career-defining 75-yard march to the end zone, convert the two-point conversion, and we got a tied football game, and now we got a shootout down the stretch between two of the best young head coaches in the game, behind a pair of quarterbacks, both of whom were told not terribly long ago, your career ain't what it was. Sorry, boys. We don't want you in L.A., or excuse me, in Detroit. And Sam Darnold, you're a career third stringer. We would have had a phenomenal shootout last night. But instead, what we got was a clear, obvious face mask that got missed to the point that Al Michaels said on national television. That's what we got. So, please know that every time the Robo-Ump conversation comes up, and it is going to come up much more frequently now that Major League Baseball is working in that direction, there are now Robo-Umps installed in every minor league ballpark. I can tell you, based on conversations I've had with some level of certainty, that by 2025, baseball will have Robo-Umps in place. They may not utilize them 100% of the time, but they will be in some role in Major League Baseball. And I suspect by the end of this decade, they'll be the umps. But please know that every single time that the Robo umps come up, every single time that Sky Ump comes up, and one of y'all calls or texts the show and says, I like the human element. That's what you're okay with, what you saw last night. That's what you're okay with. You decided that is instead of just utilizing tech that is already in place, you'd rather have games decided like that.
Okay, everything that you've just said, this is not a reviewable play.
Right.
So the only way you change things
Why is it not a reviewable play?
Because it's not. Because they voted on it being or not being a reviewable play. So a robo-ump ain't gonna matter.
No. See, robo-ump and instant replay, expanded instant replay, as far as I'm concerned, are the same. How hard would it have been? Here's the thing. That doesn't even need a replay. I need a guy in the box that has a red button in front of him, that when something like that goes down, he hits the red button and he goes,
Hey, Jeff, quick question. How'd you miss that call, bud? That's a face mask. Go ahead and mark 15 off and let's run it again.
That's it. You don't even have to go through a replay process. You just have a dude up top that goes, bonk, that's face mask, 15 yards, first down. Fix it. It literally would have taken less time to do that than it took to flip the field and get the safety rule.
All right, I'm not trying to get your face to match the color of your glasses here, but so we should be able to throw flags on every single thing so it can be reviewable?
What did I just say? Did I say the coach should be able to? No, I said.
No, I heard all that.
Okay.
But the only way
then where's a flag come from?
The only way that they can review something is if it's reviewable, and right now that call is not reviewable.
And what I'm saying is the rules right now are booty cheeks. They're bad. They're dumb.
Okay.
It is not that hard to have a skybox ref that just goes, hey, you missed the call. That's it. It doesn't need to rely on coaches or flags or any of that.
It has to be on a specific kind of penalty, because if not, he'd be pushing that button every single time on holding and all the things that go on that they don't call.
I think you can have.
You are trying to make the game 4.5 to 5 hours.
No, I'm not. The game is faster last night. Faster last night. If we have a guy who goes,
Jeff, that was a face mask.
That's it. It's over faster last night, because by the time that we got the defense and the offense off the field and the punting unit on to do the kick and then the it's a face mask. It's not that hard. It's really not. Like I feel like every time there is another very obvious reason as to why we should make the switch to tech refereeing games, because it's right more often. All that happens is that the anti-tech people move the goalpost another 10 yards. Well, if you do that, it's not that complicated. You got a guy up top that goes, that's a call that impacts the game. Here's the new ruling. That's it. And you can put three of them up there and have a small subcommittee of guys. And if all three push their button, then it's a flag. There you go. That way I don't have one renegade sky ref. I put three refs who aren't in the same room. And if all three push the button and rule the same thing, bang, on the field, the rule changes. It's not complicated. Stop throwing up roadblocks because you don't like a thing.
I don't like it. That's not the way game was played when I was a kid.
I don't care. I don't care. I don't care how Vince Lombardi thought the game should be officiated. This ain't the 30s. We have the tech. We can build it.
We'll see if at the end of the year they decide to make that particular penalty reviewable. But it's not. He missed the call.
It won't matter because just like when we could review pass interference, a bunch of y'all are going to go, yeah,
I told you it would only last a year and that's all.
Yeah. Why did it last a year? Was it because the system was bad? No. It was because coaches didn't like it. Because referees didn't like it, so they were obstinate against it. It worked when they wanted it to work, but then the ref said, no, 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 we want to keep all our power, so we're not going to go through with this. It was butt is what it was. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Head coach of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, Kyle Mountain, will join us coming up in the next segment, the start of the 7 o'clock hour. That's when he's available because the boys got to get out there and get practicing, get ready, as they are at home this evening, tonight, for the next Rabbits game at the Bonscore Wellness Arena. 7:05, the puck hits the ice. So Kyle Mountain, head coach of the Swamp Rabbits, joining us in the next segment. We will move the water cooler cheat sheet to 7:20. The second segment of the next hour will give you the top three sports stories that you need to know before we roll on. Then we will, in that last segment of the next hour, do a little World Series preview. We have the Dodgers and the Yankees, the Bronx Bombers, getting at it tonight out in Los Angeles, California, 8:08. First pitch in that one, the Dodgers and the Yankees facing off in the World Series. We'll talk a little World Series previews and prognostications to wrap up the 7 o'clock hour. 8 o'clock hour, we open it up with the audio blitz, our favorite audio from the day. And then the back half of that hour, all football. We'll talk about the football slate for the weekend at both the college and professional levels. Lonzo and I will give you some of our thoughts, predictions, projections, prognostications to wrap up the 8 o'clock hour. 9 o'clock hour belongs to you on a Friday, whatever you want to get to. If you want to get in on the show, now's a wonderful time to do it. The Renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas fan phone is open at 844-326-3663. That's 844-FANFONE. You may shoot us a text at 71307. 71307. Start your text with FAN, F-A-N, FAN, F-A-N, and we will read them on the show. You can also shoot me a tweet at the Rob Brown Show. You can tweet Lonzo at Lonzo on Word. Or you can get it, everybody, at the Fan Upstate. We also want you to use the Ray Memorial Hotline. What's that, Rob? I'm ever so glad you asked, hypothetical listener. I made up for this exact situation. I want you to go to the Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Put it on all of your digital devices. Once you have done so, I want you to search the Fan Upstate. I want you to click the little heart icon on the Fan Upstate's page on the Odyssey app. Click the little heart icon. That means every time you open the Odyssey app, it's going to bring you right to the Fan Upstate. You can listen to the station 24/7/365. That includes the Rob Brown Show from 6 to 10 a.m. every weekday, and includes Writer Than You with Bill Ryder from 10 to noon, the Jim Rome Show from noon to 3, and of course, Wire to Wire with Diesel and Cole Bryson from 3 to 7 p.m. every single weekday. When you get to the Fan Upstate page on the Odyssey app, there's a little circular microphone button right there in the middle of the page. You click that button, and you can leave up to 60 seconds worth of voice note that comes directly to Lonzo and I. Go to the Odyssey app. go to the Fan Upstate page. Click on that little button in the middle of the page, the little microphone in a circle, and leave us a 60-second voice message on the Ray Memorial Hotline. We'd love to have you join us there as well. Did you see last night's Syracuse game? Former Ohio State Buckeye quarterback Kyle McCord had a night, had a 35 of 64, 321 yard, zero touchdown, five interception night that included three pick sixes on the evening. Lonzo, I don't have a take. It's been a very long time since I felt so openly bad for an athlete in real time. Like, three pick sixes in, I was like, dude, I think you should retire now. Tonight. Now. Halftime. Yeah, go home.
That was my thoughts, too. But, you know, pick yourself up. Get out there next game. There will be a next game, probably.
I don't know that that's true for Kyle McCord.
Well, who's the backup?
Does it matter? I mean, yeah. Does it matter?
Did he play? He played pretty well up until this week. I think you have. As far as bad games goes, this is probably one of the worst in history. But you can only go up after this, right? I mean,
I don't know. Maybe throw four pick sixes next week.
Well, I mean, I guess you could. I guess you see if he has a good week of practice. You put him back out there. He throws an interception. He's done for the season.
Syracuse has Virginia Tech at Boston College at Cal, UConn, and they end the year at home against Miami. I don't have a take. Here's what I can tell you. We interviewed Kyle McCord at ACC Media Days, and he's a very likable dude. All right? He's a very likable dude. Keeping it a buck, of the quarterbacks that I interviewed, of which there were six, Cade, I interviewed Grayson McCall. I interviewed Kyle McCord. I interviewed both SMU quarterbacks. I interviewed, who was the other? There was one or two more. He was easily the most likable, Kyle McCord. He was very forthright. We asked him, you know, what went through your head that made you transfer? He gave what I thought was a very well-articulated reasoning behind leaving Ohio State and deciding that Syracuse was the right place for him. He had a phenomenal breakdown of new Syracuse Orange head coach Fran Brown. I mean, Kyle McCord was a dude who talked football with me. And you know I have an affinity for football bros who actually talk football instead of speaking in cliches, all right? Just about every one of the other quarterbacks we talked to, respectfully, including Cade Klubnik, it's all cliches. Well, you know, we're going to go out there and we're gonna work hard. We're going to be the hardest working team. Nobody's going to outwork us. We're going to be the guys that spend the most time on the practice field and in the weight room. And that's all, okay, like, cool. That's what the casual fans want to hear, right? I promise I'll work hard. All right, cool. We talked to Kyle McCord, and Kyle McCord talked football. He's like, look, this is why I like this team. This is why I like this wide receiver group that we have, because this style of play matches up with me because I like to run this. Like, he talked football, and it was a wonderful interview. And I jumped on the Kyle McCord bandwagon. Like, to the point that, respectfully, I'm like, yo, I think Ohio State lost a real one in this dude. I think Ohio State lost a real one. I think Ohio State may regret creating a scenario that Kyle McCord wanted to bail. He, Lonzo, his season career passing percentage after last night dropped from a 67% to a 54% after last night. His QB rating dropped after last night from a 137 to an 81 because of last night. I don't have a take. I just was sick to my stomach for this kid last night. My job is to come in here and give you some wonderful analysis. Oh, this take is interesting because it says this about Syracuse and this about the ACC and Pitt's this and Pat Narduzzi that. And I'd love to have all that for you. I don't have a take. It's just the first time in a long time that I was absolutely nauseous for a dude.
All right, so let's say this was in the NFL. Would you think differently? Especially if it was a team you didn't like?
I think that it would depend on the scenario. I would feel bad if it happened to, say, Jared Goff in Detroit. Because the way Jared Goff was unceremoniously shipped out of Los Angeles, despite bringing that team to a Super Bowl, the way he was unceremoniously shipped out of L.A. to Detroit, I was like, yo, that's screwed up, dog.
But what if they were playing the Saints and the Saints did all that? Got those pick sixes.
No, I mean, I'd obviously be, you know, partying like it was 2009 for sure. But it doesn't mean I wouldn't feel bad for the guy because of the scenario that led to that. Like, I can want to beat your ass because it's a competition, but also feel bad about the reason you're in that position.
See, I feel bad on the college level, but if it happens in the NFL, I don't. I guess it's because of different levels.
Here, I'll give you the example. Let's see if this holds up for you. If that happens to Jared Goff in Detroit, I'm like, oh, dude, that sucks, right? Because, like, this isn't a spot that you're supposed to be in. If it happens to Kyler Murray, I'm like, yeah, it sucks to be that guy, right? Like, I don't have anything for that guy. And I will acknowledge that part of it for me is that I had an interaction with Kyle McCord. He went above and beyond in terms of his duty, responsibility to talk to me as a media member.
So you like him and you feel like you know the guy, and that makes it...
That is part of it. I also think, and this is not... It's going to sound like it is. It's not a shot. I also think he was pushed out at Ohio State unjustifiably. I think Kyle McCord, it's a situation where Kyle McCord will tell you, and he did tell me, I left because I wanted to find a place that I fit in better. And I understand that. But I also think if you're Ohio State and you believe that's the guy, as a quarterback, you make that guy comfortable. You create the space that he wants to be comfortable. This is why I've said the new age of college football recruiting, to me, is as much about, it used to be, player, you come in and you evolve every aspect of your life to the school, not just the program, to the school at large. And in today's college football recruiting, it is now as much the responsibility of the school to adapt itself to the players to keep them happy and make them want to stay there. And I feel like Ohio State was kind of in a spot where they're like, this dude ain't... this dude ain't CJ Stroud. This dude ain't the dude that we want him to be. And because he ain't the dude we want him to be, we're not gonna go out of our way to make him comfortable here. And McCord, while it was his decision ultimately to sign the paperwork to go in the portal, I feel as if both because of my conversation with him and because of all the reporting when he decided to go into the portal, I feel like Ohio State kind of did, as is their right, kind of did the, yo, we can't make you transfer, but you might want to look into it, Dance.
I don't believe that.
You don't, because you're a Buckeye fan. You wouldn't want to admit it if that was the case.
I was looking forward to him coming back the next season and redeeming himself. That's what I was looking forward to. So I was completely shocked.
At Ohio State?
Yes. And I believe I was completely shocked, and so were a lot of Buckeye fans, that he decided to bail.
That might be true, but here's the thing. And I
don't believe he was forced out. Did he have, like, people coming at him, fans? Yeah, but that happens in every fan base, in every town, in every city, in every level. To me, when he left, I thought he was soft. And I'm probably not the only one who thinks that. I mean, stick it out, come back, and do better next time.
Yeah.
We're going to find out if he plays next week.
I think that, and again, I wonder if the perception of this is different if we're talking about a Michigan guy, right? Like, because, and I acknowledge we all have, myself included, we all have inherent biases. We all have inherent, oh, that's my team. It is what it is. I've had multiple times that I have said, if that wasn't my football team, the Saints. I had one a couple of years ago with the Saints, with the owner of the Saints, who was going out of her way to give money to protect an organization in New Orleans that had been all but legally convicted of sheltering child abusers. And our owner was providing legal advice to that organization to keep their noses clean. I got to tell you, I was this close to walking away from being a New Orleans Saints fan. That's a lifetime for me that I was about to walk away from. But I was like, that's the owner. That's one person. I'm not going to give up 38 years of being a fan of this team over the decisions of one butthole that happens to own the team, right? Like, that's kind of the thing. The perspective that I have, and I don't know that either one of us will ever be proven that our perspective is right, but via my conversation with McCord, and I acknowledge that forms a bias, right? Because I had a very nice conversation with this kid, both on and off the air, and I'm like, oh, I like this guy, good guy. Went out of his way to share this experience with me. But that, combined with the reporting that was coming out from non-university-affiliated reporters on the ground in Columbus, Ohio, I get the feeling that he was kind of pushed out at Ohio State. And yes, he's the one that's got to sign the paper, but sometimes you go, you clearly don't want me here, and if you don't want me here, I'm not going to waste my time. So I kind of got a soft spot for the kid.
I'm just not buying it as far as that goes. I mean, he made a decision to leave. Don't believe he was forced out. If you're worried about fans shouldn't be able to force you out. If the team is looking forward to you being back, and we'll never know.
That's the thing. I don't think the team was.
We weren't in that room.
I agree with that. Just said that. Agree with that. I don't think we'll ever know if the team was actively making strides to push him out.
And by the way,
but that's a vibe I got.
I was rooting for him and still am at Syracuse. I mean, because when there's a history of quarterbacks leaving Ohio State, going and doing well somewhere else.
All right, we're going to bring that conversation back up because I find it very interesting. When we come back, Kyle Mountain, the head coach of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, will join us. That's after Lonzo blows your socks, pants, and assorted other garments off with his sports flash.
Nah, keep your clothes on. Unless you don't want to. Controversial no call ended in otherwise great 30-20 win by the LA Rams over the Vikings last night. Late in the game, Vikings quarterback Sam Darnold had his face mask grabbed in the end zone, but no flag was thrown, giving the Rams a 2-score lead and effectively ending the game. Darnold finished the game 18 of 25 for 240 yards and 2 touchdowns. Matt Stafford threw 4 touchdown passes and 1 pick. In the NBA, the Boston Celtics became the first team to reach 2-0 with a 122-102 win over the Wizards. Mavericks knocked off the Spurs 120-109. The Thunder struck the Nuggets 102-87. And the Timberwolves dethroned the Kings 117-115. Make sure you tune in tonight at 7 p.m. as the Burns Rebels head to Spartanburg to take on the Vikings. It's Burns versus Spartanburg right here on your home for Burns Rebels football, The Fan, Upstate.